Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Across the Border, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. I think we will Boy, my producer better get with the job here. Oh, well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Across the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And this is a live prophecy reality edition, and everything is working this morning as of right now. Anyway, good morning, everyone. Let's see if anybody showed up in the chat room. Whoops. Yeah, even I showed up. Okay. Now we got a few people in the chat room. I'm sure some more will pile in. So I'd like to have your comments, questions. Carrie Ann says, loving your book. Well, Carrie Ann, be the first to go over to Amazon and leave a review there. Got to get some reviews over there. But I'm glad you're enjoying the book. And in the second hour, I'm going to continue my narration. I did the Audible version of my book, so I'm going to play those files in the second hour until I go through all of them. So you'll stick around for that. And wherever I left off last week is where we'll pick up in the second hour today. So, yeah, thank you for that, Carrie Ann, in the chat room. I've got an article here, and this is day 205 of the lockstep march. That's what it is. It's a lockstep march. That's the term lockstep comes from. People are moving or marching in lockstep. So it's the lockstep march to the mark of the beast. And coincidentally, last year they had a simulation that they called lockstep. And the simulation was of what we're in now. And you can tell who's part of the simulation and working for the Antichrist and toward his goals, because they are in lockstep with the Antichrist and his shadow government. People such as, well, we have avowedly Antichrist Jesuit governor of California, Newsom, lockstep. And then you have, what's her name over there in my native state, the state where I was born, Michigan, Heil, what's her name? Anyway, everyone knows who I'm talking about. Her own Supreme Court, finally, you know, the separation of powers comes in handy for the reason that it was created, to keep a check on totalitarian dictators who would think to use one branch of government to rule the populace. The Supreme Court just of Michigan just knocked her down. I'm hoping that the Supreme Court of California will knock down Governor Newsom too, and maybe we can delay at least in the United States of America, the implementation of what we are in lockstep, or the world around us is in lockstep marching to, which brings me to this article. This article here, let's see, yeah, we can put that on. You find this at Lou Rockwell. Also, if you go to the notice you got from me this morning, the posting that notifying you this program, there's a link there to our Facebook page on Facebook, to FirstAmendmentRadio.net Facebook page. And usually any articles I'm going to use during the broadcast, I will post there first. And so there's a lot of articles there, so you can scroll down and check out all those articles. Anyway, this one at LouRockwell.com, Digital Technocracy. Whoops, is that the one I wanted? Not even sure that's the one I was going for. Let's see. Oh, it's Digital Currency. Okay, I thought I clicked on it. Does it say something else? I guess they must have changed the article, because in the link I have, it says Digital Currency will take away the independence of every American. And that's... This is my email, because I'm subscribed to LouRockwell.com. And I would suggest subscribing to this very libertarian-minded, news site or whatever it is. And a lot of good articles there all the time. You got to pick and choose to eat the meat and spit out the bones, as they say. But this article here anyway, I guess they changed the name of it. Digital Technocracy Trumps Paper Money Democracy. I like the old name better. The current unrest in the streets of America's cities only serves as a distraction to what is really going on. Stop arguing over whether the face masks prevent or spread a COVID or coronavirus. I hate the face mask. I hate the face diaper, I'll say. People walking around with these blue diapers on their face. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It just looks so silly, too. Not only that, we won't get into it. I'm sure everyone's heard enough about the diaper, the face diaper. It's all contrived. The real agenda is to intentionally drive Americans out of their livelihoods so they beg a federal government dole out in the form of new digital currency. And, this Satan is a pretty clever dude, man. And he is alive, and he is well, and he is in the world. He is deceiving the nations, contrarily to what the amillennialists would say, that we're in the millennium, and Satan is locked up in prison. Try to hone that one out. It doesn't work very well. And I think I destroy amillennialism in my late book. What is the name of that book? Here it is, right here. The one that Carrie Ann's enjoying is Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. And this one, the subtitle on this is, so you get it exactly what the book is about, An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st Century. So it's about as scholarly a work as I can put out, but I hope that it meets the grade. Anyway, so I think I destroy amillennialism in that book. I don't know how they could recover from it. So anyway, get the book. If you're an amillennialist, you need to get my book, and you need to refute me. I'll have you on my broadcast, even, if you think I'm wrong, and I will debate you fairly. It won't be like the Trump-Biden debate. That will not happen. Not if we're Reformed Christians. But I have to say it, man. Neither Trump nor Biden are Reformed Christians, obviously. Biden is definitely Catholic. There's no doubt about that. And Trump is under the influence of evangelicals. And perhaps his newfound faith is real. And if it is, then he's a very immature Christian. I think we need to pray for him. Well, we could pray for all of them. Some of them, when we pray for them, the only good it does is for us, because some of them are irreformable. But I guess everyone is irreformable. Maybe there's hope for everyone. Well, we get into other theological debates there, don't we? But anyway, back to our article. This is what it's all about. Okay. With paper money going the way of buggy whips, digital currency will be distributed directly from the federal government rather than banks, and Americans will lose the anonymity of what goods and services they spend their money on. Basically, It's the mark of the beast that's coming. And Satan's been working on it for more than 200 years now. That's right. Ever since America, ever since the inception of America, about the end of the 18th century, okay? Satan and his shadow government have been trying to get control of the money power in America. I mean, they wanted it when America was brand new. They got their foot in the door and the Constitution and the creation of Washington, D.C. Read F. Tupper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil, if you want more information on that. And it took them till 1913 to get their Federal Reserve coup. That's what we'll call it, the Federal Reserve coup, because the Federal Reserve is neither federal, as they say, and neither does it have any reserves. What reserves, whether it has reserves or not, I don't know. Maybe they're all sitting over there with the Vatican bankers, but they're not going to use their reserve for our federal government or our treasury, which that's why I call it the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury in 1913. That's when the Antichrist and his shadow government got control of the monetary system of this great nation. And since that day, they have been trying and working toward getting everyone marked in total control, and technocracy is the perfect opportunity. And also, digital money is like the epitome of the an antithesis of God's money. Because God's money, God said the gold and the silver are mine, they're his. God's money is substance. Okay? His money, God's money, is based on substance. Trade in substance. Whatever you're trading for, real money, you own the substance. And you trade your substance for someone else's. And we use money, gold and silver, to hold the value of our substance when we trade it, while we're waiting to trade it, you know, trade the value of our substance for something else. That's what money is. Now, but so God's money is substance in trade, and likely gold and silver, because he said the gold and silver are mine, so they're his money. But the satanic money monetary system is that which would be the opposite, the antithesis to God's money would be fiat money, a unjust weight and balance, okay? Money that has no stable value, a diminishing value, because you're being robbed. Every time they print new money, it reduces the value of all the other money in circulation. Fortunately for us, there are some things that are working in our favor in this fiat usury money monetary system. And of course, usury is an abomination. And you can read what the scripture says about that. I write about that and in my book, in the chapter on the Mark of the Beast, which is expanded in this book from what I've written before. So that's what we're dealing with. And the fact is, with digital money that is printed by or created by the Antichrist and his shadow government, the Federal Reserve, which they own in the case of America, but really they own the same institution in all of the nations except for one or two on the whole earth, which are really obscure and have really very little influence, the ones that won't go along. And they usually are whipped into shape post-haste. So it's hard to stand in the face of what's coming to the earth, and that is the mark of the beast. But we don't own the money if it's digital. And even the Federal Reserve notes, you know, they've proven over time that we don't own the Federal Reserve notes. When the money was real and there was gold and silver, governments needed to tax the people because they needed money, real money, to run the government and pay for their wars and stuff. So they taxed the people, and people had to really labor for that gold and silver, for that substance. Okay? So now, with the advent of what's coming and what is seems to be unstoppable, and that is the digital monetary system, it will take away all of our independence. We won't be able to hold our money. We won't have any privacy with our money. All of those privacy rights are already gone, basically, if you're in the system, if you have a bank account, in a Federal Reserve Bank account. The whole idea is antithetical to what our Constitution stands for. The only reason we have a Constitution was because there were good men then who stood for the principles that are enumerated, anything that's good in the Constitution, plus that Bill of Rights that was attached to the Constitution. That was, you know, what liberty-minded men were able to keep when the shadow government and his influence came in and did create that Constitution. I believe it was like what you would call a Trojan horse. Okay? But we have it. There are good things in it, but they ignore the good things in it, the things that we would like, that we have to fight to maintain, and which we are losing even as we fight to maintain them, because they've created new rights and some of our rights have disappeared. Like the Constitution plainly and explicitly states there shall be no direct tax. And the idea, if you go read like all the papers and the writings of that day about the Constitution and what that meant that the federal government would have no direct communication with the individual on their finances. There would, in other words, there would be no financial inquisition, because taxes require inquisition. They do. Okay? They have to inquire into your finances. And that was the whole reason why it was stated that that seemed to be a right that they did not want the federal government, this entity that they were creating to serve the states independently, and as a group, as a union. They were creating this entity to serve the several states, and they wanted no connection between the individuals in the states and the federal government. They wanted no inquisition. But you see how, when they first passed the income tax, they actually went to the Supreme Court, and it was stated that no, the income tax is legal because it's not on individuals. It was on corporations at first. But you see how you give them an inch, they take a mile. And they took a mile, and they used World War II. And they got everyone to voluntarily pay income tax for the war effort. Of course, the whole idea was that after the war, they would, you know, but do away with it. But that was never their plan. It's like this whole 2020 crisis and the infringements on our rights that came this year. They're fighting tooth and nail to keep us from taking back our rights, because once totalitarians, once anti-Christ-minded people, especially those that are directly working for the Antichrist and his shadow government, once they gain control, they do not want to let go of it. So we have to continue to fight. We have to continue to use cash. I mean, because that's all we got. I mean, we've already lost our money. It's gone, the silver and the gold. But at least with the cash, we're still holding on to some privacy. Okay? When they take that, we have our privacy's gone. I mean, the privacy to them is that you get to go into your bathroom and use the toilet without anybody watching you. That's their whole idea of privacy. That's as far as they want to go. And once that's all that's left, they'll want that too. They'll know what you're going to do, what you're eating, what you're doing by what you buy, what you're interested in by everything that you're doing on the internet. Because now you have, in order to buy or sell, you have to use digital money. You have to be in the cloud. Yes, you have to be in the cloud, on your computer, on your smartphone, on your iPad, whatever. You have to be connected. So it's coming. With paper money going the way of buggy whips, digital currency will be distributed directly from the federal government. Read Antichrist, Mark of the Beast system, rather than banks, and Americans will lose the anonymity of what goods and services they spend their money on. And it will go much deeper than that, and it will never stop. Once they get that, they've got everything. Your liberty is gone. Your right to property is gone. And they can turn you off anytime they don't like what you say. And they're demonstrating that every day. Yeah, the church down south, they took their parking lot away and threatened to turn off their utilities. And they can do all that too. And of course, I'm sure that they have Federal Reserve Bank accounts, because if you have a bank account, you have a Federal Reserve Bank account. And they're all controlled by the same shadow government that works for the Antichrist. The federal government will know what political party you contribute to, whether you have complied with forced vaccination, etc., etc. And if you disagree with the government, your digital money will be turned off. Technology trumps form of government. Do you understand? The federal government is considering a technical change in the form of currency it uses, from paper money to digital money, a move that will totally negate the House of Representatives that governs how public funds are spent. In other words, American democracy will be sidestepped. Our republic will be sidestepped completely and totally. Yeah, the republic will be gone. Is there anything we can do about it? Well, I'll do everything I can, but I'll tell you what. I will not worship the beast, not for money. I'd rather suffer want. I'd rather lose everything I have, because that's what it will come to. And, you know, most of the world, they don't care. They'll just go along, oh, we don't care. We don't believe in Jesus anyway. You know, there's no such thing as an Antichrist, a devil, and a hell. So most of the world, most of those unbelievers, you know, to keep their money, to keep their jobs, to keep their houses, to keep everything they've worked for in this life, to keep their Social Security coming in or their welfare, because now they're putting many, many more people on welfare. Yeah, they'll go along. No problem for the world. But who's going to be the minority? Yeah, who's going to become the minority to be eliminated? Yeah, it's coming. And all I can say is you better strengthen your faith. You better be reading your Bible, and so that you can stand when the time comes, so that you can walk up to the guillotine or the fire or the stake with a smile on your face and a hymn coming out of your mouth and your eyes fixed on the prize of eternal life, because that is what it's coming to. That's what we need to be ready for. It's happened hundreds of millions of times in history. If you don't think it can happen now, you're living in a la-la land and you know nothing about history. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition, and we will be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition. Well, looks like a lot of people didn't get my notice this morning because just a few people showed up in the chat room, but thank you, few, for showing up. Anyway, what else do we have here? Still talking about the digital technocracy. Or the digital currency that will take away the independence of every American and strip us of our right of privacy. The Inquisition will only deepen. And anytime you see Inquisition, even under the guise of another name like 1040 tax forms or total digital knowledge of everything that you do that's financial, as in the technocracy or digital monetary system. It's an inquisition, my friends. Anytime they want to look into your activities, they'll know everything about you. Yeah. And, well, all of this other stuff that's going on. But we see some wins, like Governor or Heil Wittmer. We're gonna Germanize her name. It's Wittmer, but we'll call her Wittner. Heil Wittner. There you go. Over there in Michigan, that's her name. And her own Supreme Court, well, it isn't her Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court of Michigan, totally gutted her totalitarian rule of the state. And now people are free there to disobey the dictator. And because she even ruled over the legislature, you know, because the legislature has the task of legislating. And they said, hey, you're violating the law. See, because the legislation says that, you know, after 30 days of emergency rule, the legislature may decide to overrule the governor's, because that's the protections that we're supposed to have in our Republican form of government. See, not dictatorship. One person becoming king and the king is law rather than the law being king. You know, Lex Rex, not Rex Lex. There you go. That goes way back. But that's the foundation of our Republican form of government, is that the law is king. And even those that want to be dictators, like Heil Wittmer and Newsom over here and Abbott in Texas and whatever state you're in, where the governor has taken it upon himself to walk in lockstep, I believe they're under orders from their God. Yeah, the God-man. Not the God-man, is the man-God. Yeah, it's the man-God. Get that mixed up there. But the man-God, you know, the Antichrist, that guy. I don't have to name him. You all know who he is. We've known for hundreds of years. Some people, there have been people that have known for 1,000 years who the man God is, the Antichrist. Of course, Jesus is the God man, but the Antichrist is the man God. So, Lex Rex, the law is king, and that's the message that we need to get to everyone. Now, as far as President Trump catching COVID and all, we always get mixed messages from him. And it really kind of goes, I'm just going, oh no. half the stuff he says, I'm going, yeah. And the other half are going, oh no, you know. Anyway, we'll see. Because I don't know how Sleepy Joe can win the election. He can't win a fair election. We can tell that by the numbers, because when Sleepy Joe shows up someplace, nobody else shows up. But when Trump shows up, tens of thousands of people show up. And they're waiting there overnight. You know, they come the night before, as soon as they hear he's coming. You'll see it. He's bound to have another rally at an airport or something sometime between now and the election. And Sleepy Joe's bound to show up somewhere too. Just watch the numbers. You know, I mean, it tells you everything you need to know, really. And I'm not telling you who to vote for, because I'm not even telling you to vote, okay? Because what you do is up to you, and it's according to your conscience, okay? But and I would rather have Trump in there, and I hope and I pray for the guy, because I hope and pray that he does the right thing, but he may not do the right thing. He may be under some kind of compunction or duress to do the wrong things he's already done. At least I know he's been manipulated, because when he came in, I believe that he was really an anti-vaxxer. But then when the whole measles thing came up, I think he's under the influence because of his immaturity as a Christian and his infamiliarity with the truth. Because, you know, the only way to to avoid being deceived, is to become intimate with the truth. And if you haven't been intimate with the truth all your life, and now suddenly, you know, you come to the knowledge of salvation in Christ, and, you know, and the people that are, that little influence that you have in your life from people who may know the truth or be real disciples of Christ is very small compared to what someone like in that position would have to deal with. So I can't put much hope in any man. And my hope's in Christ, and he's got my vote. Yeah. He has my vote. Not that he needs it. I mean, he's already king of the universe. He doesn't need us to vote for him. Yeah. But anyway, let's see. What else do we got here? The state's COVID response is a cancer for the freedom of humanity. Well, these are the days we're living in. I hope it's not the new normal, but, you know, like I said, every time the tyrants take a mile, you know, we might be able to push them back a half a mile, you know? That's the way it is, man. I mean, you got, when it comes to numbers and power and might and strength, it's not on our side. But remember what is written in the Word. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So they may have the might, they may have the power, they may have the numbers, but we have the Lord. And it's by his Spirit that we will prevail. Let's see, innocent until proven Trump supporter. With Ginsburg's death, cue the last stand of the American Marxists. Well, I hope that at least we can abate him for a while. It seems like I'm hoping that we have a rebellious Catholic, but someone who is rebellious, of course, to the Catholic Church, but not rebellious to the truth, with this Amy Coney Barrett person, okay? On some things, like on Second Amendment rights, she's more solid than anyone I've ever seen, okay, from what she's actually, decisions she has made and what she's written in those decisions. Of course, she would be pro-life, too, and I heard her say that she wouldn't allow her Catholic faith to interfere with her decisions. She said if it came to that, she would recuse herself. I think that was if we take her at the truth, a lot of these decisions have nothing to do with her Catholic faith. As a matter of fact, the Catholic faith is somewhat different. You know, if her faith is truly biblical and she's truly pro-life, well, then, you know, maybe we can turn this thing around. And it's a difficult thing, as it has been expressed by some decisions very recently made by Thomas himself, one of our better justices on the court. Okay, let's see. UK, yes, institutes new lockdown. They're having a case-demic in the UK. Hey, this is my weekly call. They're just checking to see if my phone rings. Should I answer it? Well, let's see. Oh, I wasn't even ready for that. Okay. Your name and where are you calling from? Isn't that weird? Yes, my weekly phone check. Yes, the phone's ringing, people, and it works. So if you really want to call in and talk, we got about 10 minutes left before this hour is almost completely over. So I should probably just X the phone, stick to the chat room. Let me check the chat room, see what I got going on here. Let's see. Wacky says the book, The Momentous Event, A Refutation of My View, I guess my view on amillennialism, written in 1945. It cleared it up for me. I used to be premillennial. Well, I hope that I can dissuade you, Wacky, because he goes through all the debate on the subject. It's excellent, but he hasn't read my book yet, okay? Because I don't see, with what I've uncovered scripturally, I don't see how amillennialism can stand And I'm dead serious about that. I really think that amillennialism is dead. He says that the basic argument is that the literal thousand-year millennium was a carnal view left over from the Jewish hope of political Messiah. I'm summarizing poorly. Yes, I've heard all this argument before, and that was Augustine's argument. Okay, so that's not a new argument. That was Augustine's argument. He rejected because a lot of people thought the amillennium would be just sitting around feasting all the time and doing and engaging in gluttonous activities. But that's not what the scripture reveals at all. So he rejected it as carnal. Now this is 400. He was in the 5th century. So up until Augustine and that view that you're talking about there, the church was entirely premillennial. Of course, they believed that Jesus was going to return nearly imminently. They believed there were plenty of Antichrist characters to put up to fill their 3.5-year, 1260-day, what they believe would be a short 3.5 years of Antichrist reign, and then the millennium would appear. That's what they believed. Okay, now that was an error because we found out it was 1260 years, and we're still here. And the 1260 years pass, and plus some, because we're still here, even though the 1260 years of the overt reign of the Antichrist in Western Europe is over with. Okay? So, anyway, thank you. And you should read my book, Wacky. I think you might change your mind if I'm pretty sure if that's what you're standing on, What was the argument? Yeah. Basic argument. Yeah, the carnal view. Yeah. The Augustine carnal view of the millennial reign. If that's what you're standing on, I think I'll change your mind if you read my book. Greer has other proofs, evidence, proofs that many were not pre-mill early on. I've reread the book. I have to reread the book to call. Yeah, and, you know, he might have evidence because I'm sure there were amillennials earlier too, but not those, the early fathers that were in the line of apostolic tradition, and I'm speaking of the apostles and especially John, were all premillennial. So I think I'm going to go with them. You know, because they have a direct lineage to John and the disciples of John, and they are all premillennial. So anyway, that's all in my book too. So I hope you'll get a copy of it and check it out. Yeah, and or if you stick around, if you don't want to call, there's an EPUB version out there too, but stick around. I'll get to it. It is the last part of the book, the last three chapters of the book, I believe, the millennium question and that which is to come, the blessed epoch, are the last chapters of the book, but they're about the last quarter of the book, too. So I get into it extensively, and I refute a lot of the current authors directly, from their own words in my book too. So I hope that you'll enjoy it and perhaps it might convince you. I'm not sure I know about the didache. You say, how about it? Not familiar with it. So something I haven't looked into yet. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the thousand-year reign of Christ. Have you read the end part there, Carrie Ann, yet? Have you got to that portion of the book? Yeah, I do touch upon a lot of it in earlier in the book, here and there, but I bring it all together in the millennium question chapter of the book, and then following that with the blessed epoch that is to come. So, okay, yeah, I think it would be worth it for you to get the book there, Wacky. And then either that or send me a copy of this book you're talking about. But I don't think I really need to read it. I think I've seen every argument there is, actually. I mean, I don't go into these things blind, because I'll tell you what, I want to teach the right thing, what I believe is the biblical thing. And what I found, I don't believe that amillennialism can stand against it, you know, because I believe it's biblical. They have nothing explicit in the scripture to uphold their view. I do. And I outline that in the book. As a matter of fact, I have things that explicitly, there's scripture that explicitly refutes their view. And I've gone through that. I've done shows on that before. Can't remember the name of the show, but anyway. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'd gladly receive it. If you have an EPUB or a PDF, that would be fine too. But yeah, I'd appreciate seeing the book. I'll be adding it to my library. I mean, if it's right and it can overthrow what I've written and what I found in the scripture, then, you know, I'd have to change my view. That's it. But I think that's highly unlikely at this point. I just don't see how it can be done. Let me see. Let's see, the Millennium Question. The error of saying that the resurrection is past already. That's one section in the Millennium Question chapter. The error of saying that the resurrection is past already. And that's and I have six sections in that chapter that I believe it comes down to what is irrefutable. And let's see, that would be page 159 in the book. And the error of saying. And if you go to that's 2 Timothy 2:15-18. Is that what it is? Yeah, saying that the error. I believe that Hymenaeus and Philetus may have been the first amillennials. And Paul puts them down right there in 2 Timothy 2:15-18. And I don't have time to go through that exposition, but I've done an exposition on that before on the broadcast, so you can search that out on my website, and you'll find it sometime within the last few years. Yeah, well, there's a lot of other books I've reviewed too, besides, well, I haven't reviewed that one, but other ones I've read in Kim Riddlebarger's book, Sam Storm's book. I've read their books, their more recent treatises on amillennialism, and I believe I tore them to pieces, man. Yeah. In my book, fine men, don't get me wrong. I love them as brothers in Christ, and I don't question their salvation or their theology, because we share the same theology. I just believe their eschatology is an error. I believe that amillennialism is an error, and I believe Paul explicitly says it there in 2 Timothy. So check that out if you can. All right, running out of time here. Okay, well, anyway, guess I can do a plug for my book. If you go to my website or the post you got that sent you here today, and or you'll see the cover of this book if you go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and click on that, and you can get your own copy of that. If you don't want to buy it, well, you can stick around. Next hour, we'll be doing... Let's see, what will we be doing? Next hour, we'll be doing chapter 5, 6, and 7 in the next hour, because those are shorter chapters. And these are my audible versions that you'll be hearing. So you'll want to stick around for that. And what are chapters 5, 6, and 7? Let's see. Chapters 5, 6, and 7, that's The Temple of God, The Man of Sin. Apocalyptic Terms and Divine Interpretation, and Seven Heads and Seven Kings. So that's what you'll be hearing today. And it'll be quite a while before we get to the the other part. Let's see, 2 Timothy. Oh, what did I say? What was that verse? Oh, now I have to look it up again. Anybody look that up? Let's see, it was page 159. Here it is, 159, I believe. Oh, the Millennium Question, here we go. The error of saying. Yeah, the error of saying that, and this is the quote, saying that the resurrection is past already. 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 18. Of course, read it in context. Read the whole chapter. So there it is. 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 18. And tell me how that doesn't apply to amillennialism. Yeah, because it does. All right, thank you for that, Carrie Ann. You have a great week, too. And we'll see you here next week if we don't see you between now and then. Your name and where are you calling from? You're on the air. Okay, thank you for that. Yes, what am I going to do? I guess I'll have to set up Skype or something so I can take calls and actually see that someone's there and going to say something. Either that or I need a producer. So, or maybe I should just stop taking calls altogether. I'm not answering anymore. Anyway, go to my website, nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Make sure you subscribe there if you're not subscribed already. Share the articles there. You can check out my book there and decide whether you would like to buy it or not. It'd be a good addition to your library. I believe a good reference work for many people out there. Let's see, what else we got to say? Stick around. We got a lot of great programming on firstamendmentradio.net.com all day long. So I hope that you're taking advantage of the Prophecy Reality News app, which only works on Android phones now. But we do have firstamendmentradio.net/MOBI. So you can put a link to that on your Surface, the Surface of your Apple product, your iPhone, iPad, well, all those things. And that also works on Android too, because I have both on my Android phone here, a link to that. So if one isn't working, I can use the other. Okay, well, appreciate your prayers and for First Amendment Radio, for what I'm doing here. And appreciate your support, though, those faithful supporters that have kept us going through the panic of 2020. We haven't diminished at all. We haven't grown any, but we haven't diminished. So thank you all for your faithfulness. And I will continue to be faithful as you are. So anyway, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time. And stick around for the next 2 hours teaching. Darkness.
This is American Family News. I'm Steve Jordahl. The White House is experiencing its own COVID-19 outbreak. Fox's John Roberts reports.
We have been sort of looking at the White House as having its own outbreak. There was the Amy Coney Barrett event on the 26th, and then there was a Gold Star Families event on the 27th here at the White House, at which the Joint Chiefs of Staff attended, and then there was the debate preparation, and then there was the debate. Well, now we learn that potentially as a result of that Gold Star Families event on the 27th, the entire Joint Chiefs of Staff have now had to quarantine after the Vice Commandant of the Coast Guard, Admiral Charles Ray, tested positive for coronavirus. Meantime, we're getting an update on the president's condition. His White House physician, Dr. Sean Connolly, in a statement saying, this morning the president's team of physicians met with him at the residence. He had a restful first night at home, and today he reports no symptoms. Vital signs and physical exam remain stable.
During a press conference on Monday, the president's medical team did not discuss the findings from the hospital scan of the president's lungs or the date of his last negative coronavirus test. The president's doctors did confirm that his blood oxygen level had dropped at least twice and that he had received supplemental oxygen. This announcement comes just days after conflicting reports about the president's health. And President Trump said Tuesday that he has instructed aides to stop negotiating on another round of COVID-19 relief until after the election. President Trump tweeted that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was not negotiating in good faith, and said he's asked Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to direct all his focus before the election into confirming U.S. Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. Last week, the White House said it was backing a $400 per week pandemic jobless benefit and dangled the possibility of a COVID-19 relief bill of $1.6 trillion. But that offer was rejected by Nancy Pelosi. Senate Republicans are trying to speed up the confirmation hearings of Judge Barrett. She's the conservative judge President Trump picked to succeed the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court. But the coronavirus may upend that plan as well. Three Republican senators have tested positive for COVID-19. Fox's Chad Pergram has more.
This is going to be a very different type of hearing that we see next week. Some senators will be there, some senators won't. They'll beam in remotely. It's going to be very strange because of all these health concerns with these members testing positive. Democrats, they've raised the issue as to whether or not they should be holding this hearing with these health concerns here, especially having senators beam in remotely. Amy Coney Barrett gives her opening statement on Monday. She fields questions on Tuesday and Wednesday. The Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer doesn't think they should hold a hearing of this gravity with senators is testing positive. Now, the Senate met today for just a few seconds. It was kind of strange. The Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was the only senator there. He canceled the floor schedule due to positive coronavirus tests.
Even though some Republican senators have tested positive for COVID, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said on Monday that the Senate is moving full steam ahead to confirm Barrett before Election Day. Despite the claims of mainstream media, the polling seems to be fairly good for Republican Senate candidates seeking the seats currently held by Democrats. AFN's Chad Groening has more.
If you pay attention to polls and reporting from the mainstream media, New York's Chuck Schumer will be Senate Majority Leader in January. A number of incumbent Republicans are facing serious re-election challenges. But Tennessee GOP Senator Marsha Blackburn, who serves on the Senate Judiciary Committee, believes there are several Democrat seats that can be flipped Republican. Blackburn was a recent guest on Dr. Ed Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics podcast.
I think that we're in much better shape than the mainstream media would like to say that we are. Our polling is good. Our candidates are in good shape. Indeed, when you look at New Mexico and Michigan, when you look at what is transpiring in Alabama, you know, we've got pickup opportunities, and so we are going to pick up some seats.
And Blackburn is also encouraged by what she is seeing in races over on the House side.
They are bringing forward issues. They are out there running. They are going to flip some of these seats that have been held by Democrats because people are tired of our inner cities just being left to fend for themselves.
I'm Chad Groening.
And for American Family News, I'm Steve Jordahl.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, Chapter 6, Apocalyptic Terms and Divine Interpretation. Many expositors claim to interpret Scripture by Scripture, and it is true that Scripture should be interpreted by Scripture. Apocalyptic terms, symbols, should be defined by Scripture explicitly with one or two witnesses. Interpretation by conjecture should always be suspect and never relied upon for a definite determination or to become dogmatic. We should always look first in the immediate text, the same chapter or the same book, before we look elsewhere in the Scripture. Similar texts are available in the prophecies of Daniel, so it would be the next resource for divine interpretation of symbols. As well, there are many prophetic texts scattered throughout the Old and New Testaments. Divine interpretation refers to those apocalyptic terms and symbols which are interpreted explicitly in the text of Scripture itself. Every expositor should start at this point with that which is sure, which interpretations God has given to us in the text of the prophecy itself. The beast symbol. The word beast is used as an apocalyptic symbol 6 times in Daniel chapter 7, then found 37 times in the Revelation chapters 11 through 20. This is a very important symbol to understanding the Revelation. Daniel 7 describes 4 great beasts came up from the sea with different characteristics, the fourth of which had 10 horns, is the same that is described in the Revelation coming up out of the sea. Whereas John has not interpreted this symbol to us in the text, Daniel explicitly defines the symbol for us. Daniel 7:23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. Now I know when I see the word beast being used symbolically that we are talking about a prominent kingdom or ruling power in the earth. It would be a mistake to apply the term to a singular individual when the term is used apocalyptically. Also ask, in what way the fourth beast was diverse? The text does not tell us. We later learn that it had 7 heads. The Scripture explicitly names 4 of the beast's powers thus. Daniel 7 opens, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, with the revelation of 4 beast powers being introduced, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Chapter 8 opens in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. In this chapter, the symbol beast is not explicitly used, but 2 of the kingdoms explicitly named are rather described as different beasts, or animals, if you prefer. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, Daniel 8:20-21. For confirmation of our thesis here, we also refer to Daniel chapter 2, which outlines the same four dominating powers as those referenced as beasts in chapters 7 and 8, which reign until Christ sets up his kingdom, however exposed as successive parts of the same image instead, also followed by an even more succinct divine interpretation in the text itself. Daniel 2:38-45. Thou, Babylon, art this head of gold. After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, it shall break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Head symbol upon a beast. Where do the four heads of the Daniel 7:6 leopard fit into our apocalyptic chronology? First, we must ask, does the symbolic use of head in Daniel 7:6 have the same meaning as the usage in the Revelation? It is obvious that more than one head or horn represents a division of power within a beast. The Daniel 7:6 beast is identified as Grecia when recapitulated in chapter 8, where in its final form it has a fourfold division represented by four horns after its single horn is broken off of its single head. Therefore, the four heads of chapter 7 merely represent the same division as do the horns in chapter 8. These heads and horns should not be extended to the divisions expressed in the Revelation, as they would only create irreconcilable combinations in the different contexts. To wit, if Rome is number 6, is contemporary with John, as 5 have fallen, and the leopard beast representing Greece has 4 heads, Rome following would be 5, and if you add Babylon and Medo-Persia, Rome would be 7. The only logical conclusion is that the heads of Daniel 7:6 do not represent the same divisions as those of Revelation 17. Horn symbol upon a beast. Daniel 8:20 also gives us some insight into the horn symbol as an attribute when they appear on a beast's power. We notice that the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, indicate an obvious division of power within a beast. In verse 21, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, indicates the singular power of Alexander the Great, when Greece conquered and assimilated the two sea beast powers, Babylon and Medo-Persia, that fell before it. In the next verse, "Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power," Daniel 8:22, indicates that when Alexander suddenly died, Greece was divided between four of his generals. This is the famous and well-known history that followed the prophecy. We notice that the fourth beast of Daniel 7, the dragon of Revelation 12, and the sea beast of Revelation 13 all have 10 horns. By all of the commonalities present, it is reliably held that these are all one and the same beast power, as it appears at different intervals in history. The 7 heads being omitted from the Daniel description may be an indicator of this thesis, or, depending on the meaning attached to the apocalyptic heads, it may be nothing other than a simple omission. More on this later. Crown symbol upon a beast. Revelation 12:3. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads." At the time of the fall of pagan Rome, here represented by the 10-horned beast appearing as a red dragon, was celebrated in Roman history when Christianity was elevated to the state religion by the coinage impressed with the state standard over the dragon by Constantine. The 10 horns representing the division of the kingdom upon the invasion of the barbarous nations from the north, we have the testimony of Irenaeus from the 2nd century that this was the understanding of the prophecy even before it happened. I have observed on the apostle's statement that the Thessalonian Christians knew what the hindrance was that prevented the development of this man of sin. And we have the consenting testimony of the early fathers, from Irenaeus, the disciple of St. John, down to Chrysostom and Jerome, to the effect that it was understood to be the imperial power ruling and residing at Rome. The crowns being upon the heads of the beast rather than on the horn divisions indicates the power was centralized in Rome, concurrent with the 1260 years of papal, man of sin, dominancy. This would concur with the little horn of Daniel, where 3 of the 10 horns were broken off, also leaving the remaining horns vested in the little horn power. Revelation 13:1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Following the 1260-year overt papal reign of Western Europe, the crowns moved to the several divisions represented by the 10 horns. But papal Rome retains its anti-Christian status and religious power represented by upon his heads the name of blasphemy. This is the present condition of Western Europe in apocalyptic terms, so that it can assume its final revealed status before the consummation, which requires its affiliation with the 2-horned earth beast and the image it creates, as outlined in chapter 13. Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, Chapter 7. 7 Heads and 7 Kings. The 7 kings and several observations on their relation to the sea beast. Revelation 17:8. "The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom.
The seven heads are seven mountains, on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was, and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. If taken as verse 10, and they are, meaning the seven heads, of verse 9, are the seven kings, of verse 10, a double meaning could result. And one, the previously described, famed seven hills of Rome on which the woman sitteth, the other, as follows, or both may be allowed by the text and original language. It is true that the beast does in time come to dominate all of the seven beast power localities having to do with Israel and the church, Egypt, through the chapter 13 earth beast, its own inclusive, before it goes to perdition. However, the fact that it seems to originate with all seven heads and does not begin with the sixth inclusive and gain the seventh later serves to create doubt about the double meaning. Perhaps we should consider that the beast appeared with 10 horns, which did not come into power until the Caesar fell and the man of sin rose up. We, however, may only speculate upon the seven hills being synonymous with the seven-hilled city, and either proposition is compatible with our interpretation. So I determine it best to leave off the query for our purpose, there being no further explicit revelation from the several texts. Scripture defined beast power. The meaning in this is easily seen insofar as the symbol itself is concerned, by reference to the statement so emphatically made and repeated respecting the beast, when exhibited in the vision of chapter 13, that one of his heads appeared to have been wounded, as it were to death, by a sword, but that his deadly wound was healed. The healing of this purportedly deadly head wound would account for the seeming disappearance, was and is not, of the Roman or papal headship, of the beast, and the intermediate appearance, then dominance, of the seventh king beast of verse 10, which must be the same as the chapter 13 earth beast, it being the only mention of an additional beast power, which comes alongside and helps the wounded beast's head healing and its reappearance as the eighth, one of the seven. It being enumerated as the eighth also indicates that it does not look or operate as it did before during its 1260-year overt rule, but somehow rules stealthily, perhaps in the shadows. The well-known term, shadow government, comes to mind here. With the development of history and our present state of world powers, it has become apparent that the only indispensable meaning suitable in the seven heads of verse 9 would include the representation of all of the seven beast power localities this final head would come to dominate over its life before going into perdition. Any contrary speculation must ignore the verse 11 text identification of the eighth king, Basileus in the Greek, as a beast, Therion. The beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. Therefore, not merely a type or style of governing in the selfsame Roman beast power, as many have speculated, and especially necessary for the preterist thesis. Verses 10 and 11 are rather an enumeration and recapitulation of individual dominating beast, Therion, powers, of which the eighth cannot be the seventh, the chapter 13 earth beast, but must be the sixth, the Roman power contemporary with John, because it is Rome, and already defined by Daniel 2 as the great iron empire or portion of the mystery Babylon image as being destroyed by the coming of Christ to set up his kingdom, and in Daniel chapter 7, as the fourth and last dominating beast power, therefore must be identified as the same described in Revelation 17 as going into perdition. Identifying the enumerated beast powers. 1. Rome, the Revelation chapter 13 sea beast, is described as having leopard, bear, and lion features, these features being those of the three Daniel 7 sea beasts that preceded in succession and were conquered and assimilated by it. This would account for four of the seven kings or beasts. 2. Revelation 17:11 enumerates seven beast powers total in succession, with one reasserting itself at the end, being numbered as the eighth, one of the seven. 3. This sixth being contemporary with John necessitates reaching back in the history of Daniel and Israel for the previous five world or Israel dominating ruling powers, of which only three immediately previous are explicitly named as beasts in Daniel 7. Shared attributes. We must intently examine the shared attributes of the four explicitly named sea beast powers, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, before we can identify who the remaining three or unnamed beasts are. 1. Each of these four sea beast powers were individually original powers when they rose up. 2. Each then conquered and assimilated the ones before them and dominated the territory and people of its predecessors, having risen up from the same locality, the sea or waters. The interpretation of the symbol waters from Revelation 17:15 as peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues verifies the like symbol as referring to the old world locality, whereas the flood symbol would represent conquest or warfare. 3. And most importantly, none of these beasts are a division of any of those preceding it. They only assimilate. 4. They all dominated the Israel of God before Christ, national Israel, after Christ, the church, the supranational Israel of God, along with the other nations around them. There yet remain two unnamed beast powers preceding the four sea beasts of Daniel 7. These were previously named as Egypt and Assyria, both meeting the criteria as original powers and dominating national Israel immediately before Babylon, by whom they were both, along with Israel, conquered and assimilated. After Rome, the and one is, concurrent with John, the one yet future, is not yet come, can only be enumerated as the seventh, as it remains otherwise unnamed by the text itself. The Revelation, specifically chapter 13, has the only mention of an additional beast power rising up, so must be our seventh king beast. The scripture leaves us no other alternative. Equipped with this revelation, we may now inquire into the identity of this seventh king beast power.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty.
We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, Chapter 8, Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Revelation 13:11-14. Chapter 13 of the Revelation is an overview of the final phase in the life, machinations, and affiliations of the greatest and most enduring of the final world-dominating powers, or beasts, created by mortal man, with its revived head and supporting companions, the earth beast and its image, before it goes to perdition. Attributes of the earth beast prefigured in the vision. Let us examine the mentioned attributes of this seventh beast power from the divine text itself, and see if we can find a candidate in subsequent history that satisfies all of the criteria following. Here we refer to our previous discussion, which identifies this new beast power with the seventh king beast of Revelation 17:9-11, and the attributes enumerated there. 1. He is not yet come. Here is a direct future tense reference to an appearance of a seventh king beast power that did not previously exist. Future from the present tense of John receiving the revelation, and future from the one is then in existence, the sixth king beast already identified as Rome. Revelation 13 has the only mention of the appearance of an additional and subsequent beast power in the scripture, so of necessity must be the same beast power mentioned in both texts. 2. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Still directing us to the future tense, the author asserts the continuance of this beast power must be relatively short in comparison to the other beast powers before it, or at least the one immediately preceding and contemporary with it, of which the latter seems to be the case. We now turn back to our primary text above, Revelation 13:11-14. 3. This beast comes up out of the earth. First, we notice that this beast does not rise up out of the sea, as did the four previous beast powers. The sea, waters, or flood, each respectively indicating multitudes or a densely populated area, such as the old world, and conquest by warfare or the sword. This earth beast would rise up without conquest of the beast preceding it, nor would it occupy the highly populated locality of the preceding sea beast powers. There's only one symbolic use of the word earth that I could find in the Revelation, and that concerning the church's flight into the wilderness. This would seem to confirm the understanding that it refers to the opposite definition than that of the sea symbol. That this beast did not rise up in the old world locality where the sea beast did, but rather would appear from a locality which was sparsely populated upon its rise. 4. He had two horns like a lamb. For reference, averting our attention to the division of the Greek Empire, with its singular horn being broke off and supplanted by four horns, signifying a new fourfold division, and the 10 horns of the concurrent sea beast, 3 being plucked up before the little horn, etc., we expect to see something representing a twofold division of power during the continuance of this earth beast, as demonstrated by the short history of the Medo-Persian power. Its being described as like a lamb is a probable indicator of the attribute of one of these horns, or division of power, and the other indicated by our next attribute. 5. He spake as a dragon. This dragon influence, or division, would be concurrent throughout the life of this beast's power with the two horns. As we notice no change, or one horn being plucked up by another, as in the Grecian and Roman Empire beasts previous to it, this beast may exhibit an equilibrium, or even a constant power struggle between its lamb-like qualities and dragon-like conversation, something similar to the old cartoon caricature, with a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other, especially in its support of the sea beast, which derives its power from the dragon, or Satan, the god of this world. 6. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. In its history, the Roman Empire ruled the then known world and all of its civilizations. It had military outposts in many of those nations. It was the police power of the world. This is the kind of power that will be necessary to fulfill the following tasks, numbered 7 through 14, set forth in the vision for this earth beast power. Number 7. Causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. This is an overview of the end result and motivation of this horn division in the following actions, or, in the biblical sense, its dragon conversation. He uses the following feats to accomplish world obedience to the first beast. 8. Doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. In the context, as in the Roman, this power is military, an overwhelming military power, and contemporarily this means firepower. 9. Deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Here we continue the theme of an overwhelming military power that would seem miraculous by any historical standard, and the exhibition of such power in the locality of the sea beast. 10. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. So much so, this power, that the entire earth will easily capitulate to the assembly of the image of the beast, and eventual worldwide obedience to it. 11. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. The end result of the wonder, power, and miraculous machinations of this earth beast lead to the next step of worship or obedience to the image of the beast that was and is not and yet is, which will vicariously rule the world through the construct of this image. 12. And causes that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, indicating that the second beast dragon speech or horn division of power must be the primary motivator behind the enforcement action of the image it creates. 13. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. identity of the earth beast prefigured in the vision. Now we look to recent history, and it seems so obvious, so wonderfully fulfilled, that only one candidate among the prominent powers of the world stands out immediately as fulfilling every criteria of this two-horned earth beast, in every detail prefigured in the apocalyptic vision. Here we expound upon them one point at a time. 1. America had not yet come at the reception of the revelation by John. The new world where this power appeared was an unknown. Upon the punishment and wounding, as it were to death, of that head of the sea beast, a dominion that lasted for 1260 years under that head, the papal power and its Holy Roman Empire seemed to disappear. Was and is not, yet is. By 1870, it seemed only a powerless shadow of it remained. 2. America rises in the New World, about the same time of the wounding of the papal head, and has now existed a little more than 200 years in its current constitutional established form. How much time can this beast power continue before it exceeds the short space qualification? Exactly what is a short space in context to the prophecy? Even if Christ were not to appear for several hundred years more, America's time would still be a short space by comparison to the contemporary sea beast. 3. America comes up out of the earth rather than the sea, representing peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, where the four previous beast powers rose up. This beast rises up out of the new world, sparsely populated by comparison. There is no conquest or necessity of assimilation as noticed in the previous consecutive beast powers, so that this power can come alongside of and support the sea beast as predicted at chapter 13. 4. He had two horns like a lamb, and 5, he spake as a dragon. When a tenth part of the papal kingdom fell, which tenth we have identified as the falling away of Protestant England from the papal states, many had been fleeing to the New World to escape religious persecution and papal inquisition in the same place where Protestant England eventually established 13 colonies. Canada to the north was a crown colony of the sovereign city of London. Mexico, down through all of South America, Latin America, was conquered on behalf of the Vatican by the papal vassals of Portugal and Spanish conquistadors. These are all primarily Roman Catholic. In the New World, the only power that rose up and came to exhibit all of the attributes of the Revelation 13 earth beast is the one that developed out of the 13 colonies planted by Protestant England, the United States of America. These two horns appear to be lifelong polar opposites, as indicated. They coexist without change during the continuance of the earth beast. These two horns demonstrate two equal and opposing powers at the origin of the beast, lamb-like and draconic in speech. The American Continental Congress adopted the Articles of Confederation, the first Constitution of the United States, on November 15, 1777. The present Constitution for the United States was written during the Constitutional Convention. Those that opposed the concentration of power were able to get the Bill of Rights attached to it in an attempt to preserve those liberties. It was signed on September 17, 1787. F. Tupper Saucy, in his book, Rulers of Evil, unquestionably exposes the dragon influence and intrigue present in the establishment of the U.S. Constitution, and more specifically, the concentration of power in the newly created capital of this beast, the sovereign city of the District of Columbia. Though this power was founded on many godly or lamb-like principles, the draconic influence would eventually turn it to come alongside the draconic power of the sea beast that infected it at its inception. The history of this alliance between these two beasts is foretold in the 13th chapter of the Revelation. 6. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. It would take two world wars, centered around the dominant locality of the wounded head, to lure this earth beast into its predicted apocalyptic position of help and support for the sea beast. It is not insignificant that about the same time this first beast receives its deadly wound, that the second beast rises in the new world, and in time comes to exercise all the powers of the first beast before it, until it finally causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. It is all too evident that America exhibits the dichotomy which the scripture indicates that it would in the two horns as this earth beast. As the Roman Empire was once the visible police power of the world, so today America, since World War II, has emerged as the police power of the world and exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Despite recently closing hundreds of bases in Iraq and Afghanistan, the United States still maintains nearly 800 military bases in more than 70 countries and territories abroad, from giant little Americas to small radar facilities. Britain, France, and Russia, by contrast, have about 30 foreign bases combined. The Earth Beast creates the image of the Sea Beast. He causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell in the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Revelation 13:12-14. Principle in our search for a divine interpretation on the symbol here used, that of an image of a beast power, is that found in Daniel chapter 2, in the first appearance of the mystery Babylon image from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In the first, we see an image of all of the powers that would dominate the world from the first enumerated sea beast, that is, Babylon its head, which demanded worship of its own image in the plain of Dura, until this amalgamation of the four sea beast powers goes to perdition at the return of Christ. In the second end time image, we see the amalgamation of all of the powers of the earth for the final conquest of the whole earth, which will come to demand worship of all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. It is through this image that the wounded head's healing is complete, and through which it can vicariously rule the world, and cause them that dwell on the earth to wonder when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. We have learned from Bible history, and at the temptation of Christ, that it is Satan who comes to dominate all of the kingdoms of mortal men, regardless of the best beginnings. So when the dragon power, firmly entrenched in the U.S. government at Washington, D.C., the New World,
World War I is initiated, and America lured to engage the conflict in the first beast locality, that is, the Old World, after which the first attempt to create an image of the sea beast ultimately failed. The League of Nations was founded on 10 January 1920 as a result of the Paris Peace Conference that ended the First World War. America is not yet ready, but is certainly on the way to becoming the most powerful nation on Earth. The onset of the Second World War showed that the League had failed its primary purpose, which was to prevent any future world war. The League lasted for 26 years. The United Nations replaced it after the end of the Second World War. World War II, in the same 20th century, fully develops American firepower in the sight of the entire Earth. America concludes World War II with a miraculous firepower previously unseen, the atomic bomb, against which none dare make war. By means of those miracles which he had power to do, America convinced the world that they should make an image to the beast. This new image, the United Nations, is an intergovernmental organization tasked to promote international cooperation and create and maintain international order, a replacement for the ineffective League of Nations. The organization was established on 24 October 1945, after World War II, with the aim of preventing another such conflict. At its founding, the UN had 51 member states. There are now 193 as of 2018. The headquarters of the UN is in Manhattan, New York City. The United Nations is the New World Order. America did not join the former League of Nations, but is a founding member of the UN. The UN Charter was drafted at a conference between April and June of 1945 in San Francisco. It was signed on the 26th of June, 1945, at the conclusion of the conference. This charter took effect on 24 October 1945, and the UN began operation. The organization's membership grew significantly following widespread decolonization in the 1960s, and by the 1970s, its budget for economic and social development programs far outstripped its spending on peacekeeping. After the end of the Cold War, the UN took on major military and peacekeeping missions across the world with varying degrees of success. America, with its 800 military outposts worldwide, is the primary police power of the UN. Following is a resolution adopted by the General Assembly on the 25th of September 2015 for Transforming Our World, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. UN Sustainable Development Goals. Goal 1. End poverty in all its forms everywhere. Goal 2. End hunger, achieve food security, and improve nutrition and promote sustainable agriculture. Goal 3. Ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all at all ages. Goal 4. Ensure inclusive and equitable quality education and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. Goal 5. Achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. Goal 6. Ensure availability and sustainable management of water and sanitation for all. Goal 7. Ensure access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all. Goal 8. Promote sustained, inclusive, and sustainable economic growth, full and productive employment, and decent work for all. Goal 9. Build resilient infrastructure. Promote inclusive and sustainable industrialization and foster innovation. Goal 10. Reduce inequality within and among countries. Goal 11, make cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. Goal 12, ensure sustainable consumption and production patterns. Goal 13, take urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts. Goal 14, conserve and sustainably use the oceans, seas, and marine sources for sustainable development. Goal 15, protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems, sustainably manage forests, combat desertification, and halt and reverse land degradation and halt biodiversity loss. Goal 16, promote peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development, provide access to justice for all, and build effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. Goal 17, strengthen the means of implementation and revitalize the global partnership for sustainable development. As you can see, this list goes far beyond saving the environment or fighting climate change. It truly covers just about every realm of human activity. Another thing that makes this new sustainable development agenda different is the unprecedented support that it is getting from the Vatican and from Pope Francis himself. Under this pope, the Vatican has become much more political than it was before, and sustainable development has become the Vatican's number one political issue. And did you notice the language about the world's religions acting in unison? Clearly, the Vatican believes that it has the power to mobilize religious leaders all over the planet and have them work together to achieve the UN Sustainable Development Goals. I can never remember a time when the United Nations and the largest religious institution on the planet, the Catholic Church, have worked together so closely. So what will the end result of all this be? Should we be concerned about this new sustainable development agenda? The above-mentioned decolonization, continued breaking up, answers to the Daniel 7:19 attribute of the sea beast, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. Very fitting with the iron mingled with the clay in the Daniel chapter 2 mystery Babylon image of the feet and 10 toes description. They shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay, preceding the return of Christ to set up his kingdom. More recently, with the 2020 so-called COVID pandemic, we have this article. Pandemic, panic to usher in the UN's 2030 agenda 10 years early. Sustainable development, aka technocracy, is the end game of the global elite who want control over all resources on Earth, including people. The Great Panic of 2020.